Okay, well, thank you very much for coming along to this press conference. I've called it because of concern over what has been told to you about the support being provided to Mojo Mather, one of our new members of Parliament, who is profoundly deaf. On my right is the Clerk of the House, Mary Harris. On my left, the General Manager of the Parliamentary Service. And somewhere in the background is my Senior Private Secretary. I have them here because they were with me this morning at the meeting I held with Gareth Hughes and Mojo Mather. And it would be fair to say that all four of us are deeply concerned by what has been portrayed as the outcome of that meeting, which bears no resemblance to what actually happened in the meeting. And I'm deeply concerned about that. I'm concerned, obviously, members of Parliament meet with the Speaker all the time over support issues, and this is the first time one has been politicised. But it's important that you understand that the Clerk, the General Manager and my Senior Private Secretary were all present at that meeting, the entire time of the meeting. Now, in terms of support for Mojo Mather, we've been taking this matter seriously because it is a serious issue. The Parliamentary Service has put a lot of work into providing Mojo with the technical equipment necessary to help her fulfill her role. What has been done is she's been provided with rather different technical gear, with laptops that employ software to provide for note takers to provide as near as possible to a real-time presentation of what is going on in either of the House or in a select committee. And we've worked to get that operating at Mojo's desk in the House to make sure that that she can have access to that facility in the House. We've had some issues with that. The software available is not great. The software was developed, I think, by Victoria University. It's not totally Windows 7 totally compatible. Work is going on to try and improve its operational or its functionality, and Parliamentary Service is putting a lot of its resources into improving that functionality to try and deliver that service effectively for Mojo. If it cannot be made to work effectively for her with the current technology, I've asked Parliamentary Service to put resources into developing for the specific note takers voice recognition technology, voice recognition software that would provide for a more real-time transcription, if you like, of what is being said. We don't have that available in Parliament right now, but the voice recognition technology is available, and if that can help provide better support for Mojo, I've asked Parliamentary Service to explore that. The Clerk has put effort into trying to make sure that Mojo's position in the House is supported with whatever is needed to make it possible for someone who is deaf to operate in the House. For example, can't hear and may not be able to hear, for example, time bells and that kind of thing, to replace them with lights at Mojo's desk. Whatever modifications are necessary there to provide support for Mojo, that is being provided through the Clerk's Office. And the Clerk's Office is also making sure that the software and the technology being provided by the Parliamentary Service is functionally operational in the House. The Clerk is also exploring with Mojo how best to support her at select committees, because that's also an important part of her work. So I think the allegations that the Parliamentary Service is not prepared to provide the technical support necessary to support our first deaf MP is simply untrue. And a lot of work is going in from both the Parliamentary Service and the Office of the Clerk to make sure that whatever is needed technologically is provided, and the Parliamentary Service is paying for that. And the Office of Clerk is paying for whatever is needed to make Mojo's desk in the House functional for her. There is one issue, though, that is not so easily resolved, and that is Mojo needs note takers, in other words, staff time, not technology, but staff to assist, to support her, if you like, in her work here. Now, staff time like that or support like that is not something I can just ask the Parliamentary Service to provide. Support for members of Parliament is something that's spelt out in the Speaker's directions. It's separately appropriated by Parliament. I can't, under the law, simply say, well, forget about that, we'll just put a bit of money in from here or there. It's something that is that I have to consult on support for all members because it affects all members before I seek to alter any of the staffing support for members, which is allocated in hours to all members. That's support both in Parliament and outside Parliament. It's allocated to all members by way of hours, and those hours of support cover support for members in Parliament here and outside of Parliament, either in their constituency offices or whatever work they wish to pursue outside of Parliament. Now, all members are provided with, I think it's with 40 hours, 80 hours.
For listening, please.
80, no, this is the hours is 80 hours, isn't it?
Approximately 40 hours in Parliament.
And 40 hours, but 40, they can use it. Yeah. They can use it. It's flexible. There's 80 hours of support time allocated to all members of Parliament. And already members of Parliament, since I've been Speaker, that arrangement has been made more flexible to enable members of Parliament to help support each other. And, for example, at the moment, I'm actually allocating some of my hours to help support members in Christchurch, where, because of the earthquake down there, members in Christchurch have hugely extra work to try and cope with. And so that support, those support hours are available to members within political parties and can be utilised flexibly by members to provide whatever staffing support they need. Some members have more or less support here in Parliament, some have more or less support out in their electorates, but all members of all parties get those support hours. In addition, they get cash funding, and that cash funding varies depending on whether you're a list member or a constituency member. From memory, a list member gets something like $40,600, is it, of cash funding, if you like, to support their work as well. So you've got 80 hours of staffing support, and that is spelt out in the Speaker's directions. Now, the question I guess that I'm confronted with is, have we asked the taxpayer for sufficient support for members of Parliament? And should we think about how we utilise our support to make sure all members of Parliament get the support, the staffing support they need? Or do I go to the government and say, look, we need an extra appropriation because there's not enough support provided for members of Parliament? Now, that's possible, but the first process I have to go through is I have to consult with the Parliamentary Services Commission. And I have already put this matter on the agenda for the Parliamentary Services Commission to advise me on how they see support for members of Parliament and how an issue like this perhaps should be best addressed. There is also another mechanism that I've also undertaken, we'll put the matter in front of, and that is there's a triennial appropriations review of the support provided to members of Parliament. And I've recommended that there should be a representation or a paper presented to the Appropriations Review Committee, which will be appointed this year, not too distant future, which will be looking at the whole issue of support for members of Parliament, because there are a number of different members of Parliament have different needs, some less high profile than others, but they're still needs nonetheless, and that's why we have an independent body look at the support made available to members of Parliament. I've suggested this issue should be examined by them. But at the end of the day, as Speaker, I have to comply with the law. And in this day and age of transparency, the law is quite particular on how staffing support for members of Parliament is funded and provided. And I have to go through the proper processes in dealing with that particular aspect of the issue. In the meantime, all the technological support that Mojo has indicated she needs, we're doing our level best to provide that for her. And that is being provided by the respective Parliamentary Service on one hand and the Office of the Clerk on the other. Before I, if I missed anything out there, Jeff and Mary, in what you were doing?
Only the signing that will be available for Mojo's maiden speech, yep. And the the fact that she can raise with the Standing Orders Committee, or any member can raise matters with the Standing Orders Committee about access to parliamentary proceedings and whether or not captioning should be provided and where that fits in along with other issues, access issues in terms of better access for instance, television or web coverage of select committees and where the priorities will lie. That's something for the Standing Orders Committee to determine, and that was discussed this
morning. Indeed that was, and that's a good issue, a good point, that we have to make sure that as we expand access to Parliament, the priorities are agreed by members of Parliament. Now, up until now, the next step priority has been providing some media, some public, some visual access, if you like, to select committees. Now, if the Standing Orders Committee were to decide that they want to replace that priority with, say, captioning of the televising of Parliament, that would be perfectly proper for the Standing Orders Committee to recommend that. I think technology is changing so rapidly that would become more realistic in the future than it is right now. Right now, I suspect it wouldn't be quite as effective as it could be a little further down the track, but that's something that can also be explored. Anything, Jeff, you want to add to anything, Beryl, I missed out this morning from the meeting this morning? The only thing I should say, what I think stunned those of us present at the meeting, is Parliamentary Service and the clerk were actually thanked for the tremendous work they've put in to providing support for Mojo Mather, and that's what was quite extraordinary about then what appeared publicly.
Do you think there was any room for confusion when they left this morning as to what was on offer?
No, we made it very clear the process that had to be gone through. That, you know, I said that that I couldn't provide extra staffing support right now, that had to go through a proper process because it's a separate appropriation. You've been around this place long enough, Barry, to know that you can't shift money around between appropriations, and we're putting, you know, the stuff that we can legally provide out of Parliamentary Services departmental budget, like technological support, all that sort of stuff, we're providing all of that. But when it comes to support hours, that's a separate appropriation. That's not non-departmental appropriation. Now, members could choose to reallocate their support, as we already do in our party, in the party that I'm involved in. And so these things need to all be explored before we automatically go and say, no, the taxpayer must cough up more money.
You said that in the outset that this issue had been politicised and the first time that had happened. Why would they have any reason to politicise the issue?
Well, it may be. I'll be put a kind interpretation on a lack of experience that Gareth is the new musterer for the Greens and Mojo is a new member, and they may not realise that meetings, private meetings with the Speaker to do with members of Parliament meet me for all kinds of private matters to do with what they need, their support, and naturally I always assume those are confidential. Because I think there were some jaws dropped as this first public statement appeared that, in fact, Mathers must pay for the $30,000 technology to speak in Parliament out of our own budget. You know, that's...
How much is it costing the taxpayer for Mojo Mather?
I wouldn't like to put a figure on that because I don't want to... I don't want to imply that Mojo is a cost on the taxpayer at all.
Well, she is, isn't she?
Oh, no, I don't want to imply that at all. What I'm trying to say is Parliamentary Service and the Office of the Clerk, using their departmental appropriations, the money at their discretion, are doing everything they can to make sure that Mojo can be as effective as a member of Parliament as possible. And they've gone to some trouble. I mean, Parliamentary Service is even talking about getting specialists into if we can't make anything work, to rewrite some of the software where we're having some troubles with the software written for older computers to interface with Windows 7. But as I said, to me, the best way to approach that is to explore voice recognition technology, because there wouldn't be many note takers. I mean, voice recognition technology is difficult. You've got a lot of different people using it. But if you've only got two or three people, it should be possible to get that working pretty effectively, but it takes a little bit of time. I think that technology you can't get working immediately. It takes a little bit of time to get that developed and get voice recognition operating effectively, but to me that would provide the best real-time captioning, if you like.
Isn't the Green Party, though, saying there's a principle that disability services should be funded across Parliament rather than coming out of the MP support funding that would otherwise be used for constituency work?
Well, all the technological support, all the modification to whatever modifications we'd have to make to this place to provide for any disabled person are being provided. The issue is simply that the appropriations don't provide for the Speaker to unilaterally change the support hours for members, because if I give more support hours to one member, I've got to take them away from another, and you can't actually, I as Speaker can't unilaterally do that. Now, I can seek more appropriation for more support hours, but I first have to go through a consultation process for that. I've already got it on the agenda for the first Parliamentary Service Commission meeting. It's early March. I think it's a couple of weeks ago, 7th of March.
Do you accept their argument, though, that it's intrinsically unfair for them to have to forget about the technology stuff because they never actually claimed that they had to pay for that? Their issue was with
support staff. Shame some of the public statements didn't reflect
that. My understanding was to do with the staffing costs. That it's unfair that she needs extra staff and she has to dip into her own support fund.
When you say support fund,
she called it her personal support fund.
It's not a personal support fund. All members are allocated support hours, and that covers their support here at Parliament, and that's an important thing. That must be understood. It covers their support here at Parliament, plus their work outside of Parliament.
Well, she seemed to be concerned it was going to impinge on her constituency support time, support hours, that she would lose out for things she had to do outside the House because those hours were going towards electronic note takers.
The total allocation of hours covers support in Parliament as well. And how members use their support in Parliament is up to them.
But is it really up to her if she has to have this note taker to use the electronic, to use all the technology that you guys have put in? How can she?
Well, some members choose to face with, it's why we have an appropriations review to look at all these issues, but some members face huge, huge workloads. I mean, there are members, it's troubled me that there are some members in electorates that have massive workloads and they shift some of their Parliament support time to help cope with that. So members have different demands on them and use their hours accordingly. And as I say, within the party I'm associated with, we help each other where members have further needs rather than automatically go to the taxpayer for more money. Now, maybe at the end of the day, we need to go. I'd like to think that maybe members could resolve this without going back to the taxpayers. Maybe I'm naive, but I'd like to think.
The fact is, though, that she has to work as hard as those aforementioned MPs, but the fact that she's deaf throws up a whole other raft of needs.
I don't want to get too much involved, but I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of members of Parliament working in a lot of electorates, and some members of Parliament have hugely busy constituents where they're not working with a single group of people. They're working across the board with people with disabilities, with people with, you name the number of issues. Everything from marriage problems through to, you wouldn't believe the issues that I've had to deal with in my 27 years as a constituency member of Parliament. And all members of Parliament have to, in this day and age, and used to have to, when I came to this place, we had no electorate agents. We shared a secretary in this place. My mother was my unpaid electorate agent when I came to this place. We had no electorate offices, none at all. And so over time, more support for members of Parliament has become available, support a diversity of members of Parliament with all sorts of different needs representing all sorts of different people. And I think taxpayers put a lot of money into supporting Parliament. My first hope would be that we as members could find a way to make sure Mojo gets all the support she needs.
Parliament voted, made an exception or extra exception for far-flung rural MPs in the last term. They get extra funding for having multiple constituency offices, you know, in areas like West Coast Tasman. So why are they so special, but a deaf person isn't?
The Appropriations Review Committee recommended that electorates above a certain size, because of the massive workload they imposed, should receive some additional resources, and they do. They get additional hours, and they get additional cash as well. And that is a matter that I'll be asking the this year's Appropriations Review Committee to look at, because there are a range of issues there as well, that workload in constituencies doesn't just relate to geographic area. You know, there are all sorts of reasons why certain members of Parliament have massive impositions placed on them, and we've got to try and support members in dealing with all of those.
The point is that if you can make a special case for them, why aren't you prepared to make a special case for her?
Well, it went through a whole process that probably took about 2.5 years.
Don't you accept that?
Now, I'm hoping we can deal with this much more rapidly.
I mean, you say that you want to deal with it much more rapidly, but don't you accept that the wheels of Parliament Service are turning too slowly on this issue? I mean, she says she can't do her job right now. She was prevented last week from being able to participate in a debate.
I think software failed, or I think some of the technology failed. That happens. Parliamentary Service is putting huge resource into trying to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. But that's, as you'll be aware, you know, being reliant on technology, every now and then it fails. And that was not through any lack of support and effort. That was simply trying to use software that's not the late, you know, is not that updated, and trying to get it to work effectively for Mojo, and a lot of work. That is something we've got discretion over. And I've asked Parliamentary Service to put all the effort they can into making sure that doesn't happen.
But it hasn't worked. It's clearly not working. And so the next step you're saying is a meeting in March and a paper.
No. Please listen. Please listen. That technology is something we're working on right now. That doesn't have to wait for a Parliamentary Service Commission. Parliamentary Service is looking at whether they need to rewrite the software. I've asked them to explore voice recognition technology. None of that has to wait. We've got discretion over that. We can do that.
Could I just ask, comparisons have been drawn between this and the Māori translation. Can you tell us where that's funded from and how it is different?
The Māori translation is to assist other members of Parliament to understand when Māori members, and members of the public, when Māori members use the Māori language, which is recognised under our standing orders in Parliament.
But they don't have to pay for that, do they?
No, that's provided, but
It's a
service to all members. Likewise, should a deaf person use sign language in the House, we will have, in exactly the same way, translation to provide immediate translation for all members in the House.
But isn't this note-taker the translator?
No, it's not. Totally different. No, it's whatever is provided to provide understanding for all members when a member chooses to use Māori, exactly the same as being provided for when a member chooses to use sign language.
You're now being accused of discrimination. How personally hurtful is that to you?
I try to avoid letting such things, I've been around this place too long to let such things hurt me, but I can tell you the astonishment in this office, and the astonishment in the clerk's office, and the Parliamentary Service office at what we've read today, given what's gone on trying to provide support for Mojo May, that just stunned us.
What's the estimation on how many hours of note-taking service she'll need? Because that would exceed 80, wouldn't it?
Week?
Oh, 80 a week, well,
no. We've worked out approximately 20% of the support hours that she has, and that's making some fairly bold assumptions about the number of hours that she'll be spending in the house.
She can get that now, can't she?
Well, she has. Well, it's only 20% of that support.
She had to sacrifice things that she might use, or one of her fellow MPs,
but other members have to do that too because of the situations they're in. And I'm just saying that we shouldn't. I'd like to think we as members can find a way of resolving this. Because don't forget, in addition to all those support hours members have, leaders have budgets. Every party leader has a budget. And that leader's budget is used to provide more support staff for members. While I'm concerned, in this time of fiscal constraint, members of the public out there are struggling. And I want us to see if we can find a way of meeting the needs, meeting the support needs for Mojo Maitha without automatically going back to the taxpayer and saying we must get more money, because there is significant money to support members of Parliament, and the Green Party gets significant money to support its activities. And I see how leaders' budgets are spent, because some items of expenditure require the Speaker's approval. I just believe, to me, it would be preferable if we as a group of members, I'm just treating myself now as an ordinary member of Parliament, could find a way to utilise the significant resources we have to support our activities as members of Parliament. Already Parliamentary Services are using its resources, Office of the Clerk using its resources. The issue is the resources for supporting members of Parliament now, because that's how we employ these support staff. And taxpayers already spend significant money on supporting on hours and cash supporting members of Parliament.
You said it was recognised in the standard orders, but sign language is also an official language of New Zealand. Why not just have someone doing sign in the House, if that's the argument?
But that's not the argument, because that wouldn't help Mojo particularly.
Will you start offering Mojo something to your house?
Anything's possible. I would like to think that we find a way of resolving this thing.
And Mr. Peters is calling for all parties to contribute some of their funds. Do you agree with that?
If all parties chose something, I think should be discussed it, rather than it being used as a political football. I think the Parliamentary Services Commission, I mean, there could be something done in the interim, but then the Parliamentary Services Commission could advise, could, you know, consider that issue. And to me, that would be a very helpful resolution, because then we're not going to the taxpayer asking for more money because we've got a challenger. We've got a challenger, you know, a person with a significant, serious disability that we're trying to make sure can function fully as a member of Parliament. And if we as members of Parliament can find a way to meet that person's needs without reasonable needs, without going back to the taxpayer, I think that's great.
Thanks,